thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and not in here by myself. We're in here in the dark, sitting around a candle, seancing this podcast up. It's Alistair Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in beautiful Skeleton Studios on a cold and dreary day. It's overcast outside, possible chance of snow flurries. I'm loving it. I love this time of year. I'm just super stoked to be here, and I'm really super stoked to have you back in studio with me.
I'm back.
Did the last episode all by myself?
I'm back. I'm
telling you, it's not the same.
It's not fun?
Well,
I see what you're saying. It's more fun, but it's just not the same.
It's not the same. Like, when I'm talking to you, when you're in the room, it's easier because I'm like talking to somebody. When you're by yourself, it doesn't. I know that I'm speaking to thousands and thousands of people, but it doesn't feel that way.
You're really
right?
Throwing out big numbers. I don't know if nobody's listening to you.
Well, they did. I can show you the numbers. I mean, I don't know if they listened, but they downloaded it.
It was playing somewhere.
Yeah, man. I'm glad to be here. It's almost Luke's birthday. It's almost your birthday.
Yeah, true.
I know you just got back into town, but let's tell everybody. Hold on, I got a phone call coming in. Sorry about that, folks. Work never stops, right?
Right.
Let's tell everybody what you did. I know that we mentioned before that you were going up hunting, and I know last week when I was on by myself, I told everybody that you were still gone.
Yeah.
Tell them what you did and where you went and how that went.
We were hunting whitetail in Kansas and mule deer in Colorado. So there was a lot of spotting and stalking, a lot of glassing, a lot of walking. I forgot how many. I wished I would have set. I don't remember, you know, of any way of doing it. I should have taken like a Fitbit or something to set to see how many miles we actually walked. But we covered a lot of territory. So, yeah, it was good times. It was cold, windy. Goodness, man, I was not prepared. We get winds, you know, and all that. But Kansas and Colorado, that's in those open areas, it's a different level of wind down through there. Like, oof, it was bad. Walking through some of these plowed fields felt like I was getting sandblasted as it was rolling through there. 30 and 40 mile an hour winds. And I mean, it was just steady, not gust, just like that's what they're blowing. So, yeah.
Right. Lots of creepy cornfields.
They were all cut down. Drought was pretty rough all through the state. So, yeah, it was one of those deals. But, yeah, we saw a ton of all of it. It's just, I love the sunrises and sunsets in Kansas. They're beautiful.
And you know, because of that particular type of area, mm-hmm. the deer hunting is different than we do down here where we live. You know, it depends on where these deer are at. Tell the people that aren't deer hunters why those deer get in those open fields, why they bed down, like the whole thing. Like,
there are, you know, of course there's creek bottoms and trees and all that stuff, but they seem to like there where our deer seem to depend more on the senses of like smell and hearing, and you're in real close quarters when the woods real thick, as in most places out there, they like to just lay down in the middle of like milo fields and corn fields and stubble fields and tall grasses where they can use the wind to their advantage and their eyes. They get to use all of their senses, but the wind's usually blowing so much that it almost takes their ears out of play. And if it's blowing hard enough, of course it takes their nose out of play. So they have to use, you know, of course, with the wind coming in at their back, and then like they're looking so they can smell what's behind them, see what's in front of them. But yeah, it's a whole different thing. Everything changes when you hunt them. So yeah, I mean, we had a blast. It was one of those deals that I did not prepare. I thought I was prepared for all the walking again. I'm like, all right, I'm ready. And every year I'm like, okay, you know, last year we walked a lot, this year put in some good miles, but it was good. It was really, really a good time. And that's what makes it even more fun to come back. So then you get to come back here and hang out with
Well, and then again. You came back here and you were almost gored to death by a deer.
Yeah, that was crazy, right?
Tell everybody that story.
Okay, so just the other day. All right, so this happened the other morning. I'm out there. We got back. I'm out hunting. I'm walking down through this trail, right? And so I'm making my way down this trail. I'd already hunted and left one spot and came back over, was checking another spot where I was hunting. I'm making my way down this trail quietly, real quiet. Wind at my back, you know, and I'm just traveling. I'm not looking to sneak up on anything, right? It's 10 o'clock, 10, 10:30 at the time. And I'm just bebopping down through there, coming out, and you know when you hear something, but the minute you hear it, it's almost like you already know it's too late when you hear it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I hear in this crashing brush right beside me. So into the briars, 3 foot to my left, you can feel the air. You can feel, you know, all of this movement is a doe, a white-tailed doe. She was running what seemed to be, I wouldn't say full speed because it's pretty thick where I was, but she's running down the trail, running. There's no trot. There's no, she's running. And so literally she crashes to my left. I turn to my left. As I turn to my left and see her crash into the briars, something hits me on my back left side, like on my butt cheek and down on my leg and up a little high on my hip. Pushes me towards her. As I wheel with the momentum of it spinning me and turn and look, now there's a little 8-point that is scorpioned into the brush. He bumped me. He was chasing her. So when they turned this little corner, when I'm talking about, I've almost had to crouch over in these areas.
They had no idea you were there. Brush.
No, she's running from him in the rut. I've had crazy things happen. Nothing like this. I've been chased by pigs. I've told that story.
Yeah.
Right, a shooting with the bow and they run out and the guy with the gun and the whole deal. That was crazy. This was even wilder than that because she took off one direction and the 8-point, when he finally got his bearings, took off in the other direction. So I'm sure she's probably glad that I gave her reprieve from him chasing her around like he was. But yeah, how bad would that have been? I guess he hit me with his body, which is what caused him. He just jumped out of the way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when he saw something in there, and I don't know, I'm not assuming with his shoulder, like maybe he bumped me with his hips as he was coming by or his body as his drug it down me. Cause it wasn't like a tackle, you know, it wasn't like he ran into me. It was more of a glancing, sliding blow as he flipped over. But imagine if he had hit me with his horns, right? Or I'm sorry, his antlers, knocked out a kidney. That'd have been great.
That is a crazy story. Yeah. I think of like those bullfighters, you know, that they toy with the bull. Yeah. I picture that.
They were toying
with
me.
But it like had to shock you because it just happened so fast. You're just like, what?
It's one of those, like, what you happened? See those videos exactly of like a car crash and there's like a dude walking through a pedestrian walk and like the car slides. That's what it felt like. Everything happened. This all, what I'm describing, all took place, I would say, literally less than 5 seconds.
That's insane.
It was just all this noise and thrashing and me going, and then they were gone, right? And that was it.
Oh, that is crazy. Yeah.
There was a lot of profanity. Actually, no lie, I had to stop for a second. I'd be like, dude, what the hell just happened? I'm like, nobody's going to believe this madness. So that's when I was like, yeah, nobody's going to, but that's what happened.
That is crazy. Well, speaking of crazy and hunting,
yeah,
check this story. This comes from Mansfield, Pennsylvania, back in December of 2014. It says at around 2:30 p.m. So this guy's having an afternoon hunt.
Nice.
He said, I was out deer hunting. I was seated on my stand at ground level, facing generally north. Now, this field is 20 acres of tractor-mowed fields. I was near the upper middle, near a large rock and a cherry tree. This entity was first seen with my naked eyes, though it might be light and leaves playing tricks on my sight. The oak and beech brush still had their leaves. Sometimes this can happen when you're out all day in 18-degree temperatures. I then observed it with my 10x50 binoculars. It was still there. I noted that the area was very quiet. There were no birds or other normal outside sounds. Now, how many times do we talk about that? Where everything goes quiet?
Yeah, oh yeah.
My observation lasted for about 6 minutes. Now, I carry a field notebook, as we are very active birders. I sketched what I saw and noted the colors and sizes. There was no snow. Little wind, and like I said, it was 18 degrees Fahrenheit out. The entity appeared very solid, and I observed no movable joints. It never moved. The legs looked like stovepipes, 6 inches in diameter. The arms looked the same. They terminated in round ends, no digits. The ends were even with its crotch. The body was also round, about 14 inches in diameter. The head looked like a round bottom bucket, turned upside down, about as tall as the body was, wide 14 inches. In the area where the eyes would be was a black shiny area 3 inches wide stretching across the front. The overall height of this thing was 9 feet. It was standing in weeds and goldenrod. I could not see the feet. I never saw it arrive, and it departed while I was scanning for deer. If it had stayed there, I would have tried to approach it. I had no fear and lots of questions. I would like to know if any other folks have observed similar entities and where. So this deer hunter is out there kind of like you were doing, glassing around, looking, and he sees this strange looking like robot in the woods.
That would be crazy.
I mean, he describes it as having like, you know, black, solid black slit for its eyes would be. It looked like a bucket turned upside down. It had arms like looked like stovepipes, but there was no digits, no fingers. It was just round. The thing moved around, he says. And then he looked away, and when he looked back, it was like gone instantaneously. Like he said, has anybody else seen anything like this?
That is crazy.
Kind of reminds me of like the Flatwood Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where it was kind of like
arcing and sparking.
Yeah. What a strange, I mean, maybe an inventor out there, you know, outside of his barn, he builds these robots. Who knows? I mean, the guy doesn't say it was extraterrestrial. He's just awfully odd that you're out there hunting and you see what looks like a mechanized robot.
Maybe he's building
the woods.
Some Iron Man armor, right? Like some crazed hillbilly out there or something.
Because it had to do with hunting, I thought I would throw that in. What a crazy sighting, right?
I love those sightings. Like we're so used to hearing it with Bigfoot or the Dog Man or something crazy. But when you hear like, oh, there's a robot making its way through the woods, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, there was another sighting back in the 50s or 40s of like a robot type being seen up there near Pennsylvania, I believe. I can't think of the name of it.
Remember the one where the guy took a photo of with his daughter and that in the background, then it was like a spaceman? I had talked about that and I can't remember it. But remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it makes me think of too.
Yeah, no, there was an actual sighting. I'll have to look that up on a future show.
We need to find robot sightings.
Yeah, there was one like that happened. I want to say it was in the 50s or something, like the typical story where these
Will Robinson
teenagers are out, you know, like on makeout point or whatever in their car. I can picture like the music from the 50s playing and them there while they're out there. They seen something sparking and like freaking Robbie the Robot come like walking out of the woods, and they watched it for a few minutes and then the thing ran off. And they're like,
Robbie
what the
Robot.
What the heck was that? Crazy.
Dude, I've got to ask you something here.
Sure.
And we've talked about this, but I know you've been paying attention to Graham Hancock's new stuff on Netflix.
I have, yeah. Right? What is it? That was great. Ancient Apocalypse.
Yes.
Very interesting. We've had Randall Carlson on the show before.
And spoke to him quite a bit about stuff like this with these asteroidal impacts.
Yeah, there's actually a pretty cool conference coming up in June 2023 up in Asheville.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking to Micah Hanks about it. I think we might be going up there, and maybe we can do an interview with Graham. That'd be pretty cool.
It'd be pretty wild. Listen, do you think it's odd that it's starting to make more and more mainstream? Isn't that strange?
I think it's because, much like UFOs, the government's coming out with it. They're trying to get us acclimated because they've already spotted something that's going to hit the Earth, and they're trying to get us prepared.
Well,
to wrap our minds around it, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. Because don't forget, September 26th of this year was when they did the DART, the double asteroid redirect test.
Yeah, I don't know how did that go?
It went good. They actually shortened this asteroid's orbit by like 22 minutes.
We're actually in the torrid stream right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right now is when it's popping. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because they're talking about this. And this has even been posted back on phys.org earlier this month. They said that it'll be tough to stop an asteroid at the last minute, but not impossible. So what they were talking about was being surprised by asteroids.
Yeah.
Like if we know they're coming far away now, we can handle it. We can go out, redirect it. What they're talking about is them sneaking up on us. Now, they have them where they've hidden in the sun, where they've just appeared. They've just had all this stuff go down. Well, they've actually found, as of earlier this month, if you check The Guardian, a planet-killing asteroid discovered, and it's coming this way. But this is what it says, that it has, they claim, no chance of hitting Earth.
Oh.
That it crosses our orbit with no chance. The asteroid name, 2022 AP7.
Okay.
I think I took that, right? And it was reported by researchers looking for space rocks within the orbits of Earth and Venus when they found it. It has a diameter of 1.1 kilometers to 2.3 kilometers.
I've never had space rocks, but I have had moon rocks.
That's true. Yeah. It is probably in the top five of the largest ever found, is what it says here. Now, how crazy is that? Now, look, here's the lead study author named Scott Shepard from the Carnegie Institution for Science in Washington, my friends.
Nice.
Says this right here. Any asteroid over 1 kilometer in size is considered a planet killer.
Oof.
That's his quote. And adding that should such an object strike Earth, the impact would be devastating to life as we know it. with dust and pollutants kicked up into the atmosphere where they would linger for years, folks.
Yeah, like a nuclear winter, right?
Yes, yeah. So like I said, hop over on The Guardian. You can check this whole thing out. The reason I brought this up is because now we've seen all this stuff released, that they're like Graham's charging in, all of these things, all the stuff that we've talked about for 10 years now about all of this stuff. It seemed to be making headlines in the last 60 to 90 days.
Yeah, it really has.
It's very strange that it's come around. I find it very strange that it's come around. And I think it's like you're saying, they're trying to desensitize us to the idea. Here's the problem. We're putting a lot of faith in these people. Because what if it doesn't work? What if they're telling you, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not last minute, but we still think we could pull it off. What if you can't?
Well, then there's no hope anyways, right?
How do you desensitize to that? Yeah.
No.
Because if it comes in, I hope it hits me in the head.
Yeah.
I hope I'm at ground zero.
Exactly. And I do think it's good that they're desensitizing people to this, because this is something we should be paying attention to, because, God, we have the technology, right?
Yes.
Instead of coming up with the next iPhone 14 or 15 or 16, like, why don't we start spending a little bit more time worried about these asteroids and these comets, because this is a real thing. It has happened before. It definitely will happen again.
Oh, yeah.
And
here's the other part to that. Now that we know that they're already saying, okay, we know this is going to happen. Oh, this. Why are we arguing about ancient history? Now we know that all this stuff is here. Why is there an argument? Why are there so much pushback against the fact that there was pre-Ice Age civilizations?
I think you're seeing less and less of it, but you're right. I think for a long time it was gatekeepers. Only a few professors and stuff like that held the keys, right? Mm-hmm. So they weren't going to let the average person come around and disprove their theories or the books that they've written, instead of having an open-minded look at it. Like, look, dude.
It just took time.
Maybe it didn't happen the way you think it did. Like, that's the problem with humanity. We're very arrogant. Mm-hmm. People come up with these ideas and they think that it's their way. They don't know. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that's why, like, the pyramids, from the ones in the Mayan culture to the Egyptian culture, like, people are always wondering, like, how the heck did they build that? It's because there was another civilization and somehow that information was lost.
Yeah.
And we always, like we've talked about many times on the show, we always look at the ancient cultures as being dumb. Well, I think it's dumb of us to think that, to assume that they didn't know anything.
Yeah, I agree.
I think human beings are pretty much as smart as they are now. They were smart 100,000 years ago, right? Just in a different way. And there's just nothing left over for us to know that.
The capacity for us to learn is exactly the same. We just need the information to be given to us.
I mean, like, look at right now, if something was to hit right now, everybody is storing everything digitally.
Mm-hmm.
If we were wiped out tomorrow, what do you think would exist of us 10,000 years from now? Nothing. You wouldn't find anything.
Yeah.
So how do you know that there wasn't an advanced
Mount
culture
Rushmore. You'd find
65,000 years ago and there's just no sign of it?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen. I don't know, but I'm with you. I'm glad that it's becoming more mainstream.
Myself.
I'm glad that more people are becoming used to the idea. If you haven't and you have a membership with Netflix, go over and check out Apocalypse, Ancient Apocalypse, I believe that's what it's called.
Yes.
It's like an 8-part series with Grant Hancock. It's very good. I also, if you like that kind of stuff, man, I implore you to read his books, like America Before, what was the first
thing? Fingerprints of the Gods.
I'm sorry. Even his fictional books, War God.
Yep. Those
very,
are all good.
Very good reads. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some strange encounters with the Men in Black. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Back with Expanded Perspectives. Cam, I know this is a subject very dear to your heart. You had a Men in Black encounter one time when you were a teenager. I'm just joking. I know that you've been following it, though, for a while, and it is one of the strange things that we talk about.
Yeah.
We've had Nick Redfern on the show talking about his books in the Men in Black, and it's just a strange phenomenon where people for whatever reason, they see a UFO or something unidentified like that. And then just seemingly out of the blue, these men in coats or fedoras and black suits, sometimes they're not black, but well-dressed guys show up in like a black Lincoln Continental, and they immediately start telling you not to talk about your encounter. So there's like, first of all, how do they know that you saw it? That's one question. Second of all, who are these gentlemen? And there have been women. You know, because some of the stories they talk about, people said they don't quite look right. They look, they don't have any facial hair. Sometimes they don't even have eyebrows.
They don't look like they're from this time.
Sometimes their eyes are shaped weird, almond shaped, giant blue, sometimes slanted. Their skin doesn't look right. And then they themselves act oddly. Like they'll come in the house. Remember once somebody offered them some Jell-O.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like they did not. You know, not only had not seen it, didn't really know how to eat it. They just seemed perplexed by odd things. Microwaves, for whatever reason, seemed to freak them out. And then they'll like warn you not to talk about stuff, and then they just kind of disappear into nothing. It's very, very odd. John Keel wrote about this stuff. It's like what? What is it? Some of the people that have these encounters, they say that they look like they were just guys that worked for the government, right? And then other people talk about like. They seem almost like robots, like they didn't seem human.
Well, you know what it makes me think about? It makes me think that if they are simply another alien race, right?
Uh-huh.
And maybe they are either in charge of either protecting the ones that get seen, or let's say they're hunting those. Hence the reason they come and talk to you about it.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. They tell you, oh, you know, you didn't see anything, you didn't do this or that, because they don't want the world to know that there's an ongoing alien battle between multiple alien races. And the men in black are just like the bounty hunters of aliens. And maybe that this didn't start till around the time of the 50s. Hence the reason they hold on to that look.
Well, you're right. And that's kind of like what the movies are based on, right?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be more like a group of humans that are undercover doing it. But yeah, because these things don't seem like that. They seem like they don't know our ways. You know, it's so awkward for them that maybe that's it. They are an alien in some sort of human form.
Yeah, maybe.
And they can't, they're doing their best to try to get to the point. We just want just the facts, right? But they can't seem to get through all that.
Check this one out. Yeah. This one was given to Lon. This happened in Vancouver, British Columbia, back in December 2000. The person says, several days after witnessing two low-flying objects over our area on two separate nights, one of the objects was described as huge, making a rumbling-like noise. It had a V-shaped tail with two rows of round and oblong windows and was black, gray, and silver in color. And after receiving a suspicious phone call from someone claiming to be a general from the Canadian Armed Forces, two strange men appeared at my front door. They produced wallets. One was black, one was brown, containing a photo ID that stated that they were from the Canadian Air Defense. They asked to come inside my home. The witness says that they extended their hand, but this was ignored. Moving into the house took them through the kitchen area, but they stopped whenever they saw the microwave. After some questioning, the witness lowered a portion of a counter and they carefully slid through the extra space. Sitting down, they produced a small silver-colored tape recorder and inserted a small disc between the size of a nickel or a quarter in size. On entering the house, one of the men had noticed an unusual walking stick that was located in our hallway, to which he remarked that the head of the stick's carving, painted red, reminded him of primates back home. The two men were olive-skinned and appeared to have slightly slanted eyes. Each wore glasses with thick rims. They wore black suits with black shirts. One had a white tie. The other was buttoned up to the neck. The one with the tie had a clip that contained a red stone that appeared to flicker. The other had a ruby ring surrounded with diamonds. His watch was square, but without apparent hands. Instead of being encircled with buttons that periodically illuminated from white to green to mauve, the strap appeared to be molded into the skin and was a solid steel band. The belt on his pants was of a metallic strip with a square buckle. Both had very large feet. I estimate them to be about 14 inches in length. Each carried a briefcase that was heavy and cold. When sitting down, they never relaxed into their chairs, but retained a stiff back the entire time. Not once during their stay in the house did they speak to each other. The witnesses' two cats were extremely agitated the whole time during the visitor's stay. Also, the owner's dog that lived upstairs barked during the entire episode. The men noticed that the witness was wearing a very unusual watch, and one of them touched his arm. The touch felt very cold and clammy. They questioned the witness about his sightings, and one of them appeared to be taking shorthand notes. When they questioned him, they looked into his eyes and seemed to pierce his brain. As they were leaving, they again carefully avoided the microwave. Outside in the yard, they spent about 30 minutes scouring the ground with a Geiger counter. As they rounded the corner of the house, the witness went from their kitchen into one of the bedrooms, which gave him a clearer view of the driveway and the road. Despite the very short period of time it took him to achieve this, the two men were gone. They were out of sight. There was no sign of a car leaving, no car door shutting, nothing. They had simply vanished. Later, the witness discovered that on the windowsill, only 6 inches behind where one of the men had been sitting, was a Windex bottle that was partially melted, as if heat had been applied to it. Alongside was a cassette, warped in a similar manner. The witness said that they suffered from severe migraine headaches after the two men left. His eyes also felt gritty and teary, and his face now appeared to be sunburned. He also suffered from strange dreams, one that was of lying prone on a table in a round room with a bright light above him, then sensing being touched. 2 days later, while going outside his house, the witness saw the same two men he had seen before in the driveway. Both of the men were dressed in complete white coveralls. One was carrying a Geiger counter, the other a 12 to 16 inch parabolic dish in his hand, pointing to the sky, plus earphones and a microphone that was attached. He appeared to be searching the sky. The wires all led into a black box that was attached at his waist. At one point, he had what looked like a camera, although not video, aimed at a tree over which the UFO had originally been seen. During the time they were together, neither was seen speaking to each other. No car was seen which they might have arrived in. In December, a few days after Christmas, a man appeared at the door of the witness again. He stated that he had come to see his unusual watch. He stated that his name was Mr. Smith, and again produced an ID. He wore a dark charcoal suit, a white shirt, and a black tie. He also wore a black fedora. His feet were very large, probably size 13 or 14, like the witness's previous visitors. His shoes were black and shiny, with no signs of dirt on them at all. He was about 4 feet 8 inches to 5 foot tall. He was very thin and very pale-skinned with long fingers. He also wore black wraparound glasses with silver frames. The witness again extended his hand, but this was ignored. Upon entering the house, the visitor commented on the carved walking stick in the hallway. He also asked the witness to turn the microwave off before he walked in front of it. Now, sitting down at the kitchen table, he produced a small silver tape recorder, claiming that it could record up to 80 hours or more. Now, using a pick-like tool from his breast pocket, he examined the witness's watch. He opened a black briefcase, removed some paper, a silver pencil with a red top was produced, and a pen-like flashlight that emitted a mauve, thin light, or beam, which he scanned the interior of the watch with. He took a small digital-type camera, and with it he took several pictures of the wristwatch. During the whole of this visit, he spoke very little, and his speech seemed slurred. Again, the cats were agitated during the stranger's visit. He again expressed this interest in the watch, and the witness asked $500 for it. But the strange man replied that he had to check with his colleagues first. The stranger also expressed interest in a computer, saying that it had very minimal power. The stranger departed without saying goodbye. Of course, the witness went immediately to the window, but could not see any sign of the visitor or any car in the vicinity. Again, this person simply vanished. A plastic hair blower nozzle was found melted, and a ruler in a drawer close to where the visitor had been sitting was bent into a slight S-curve. Again, the witness suffered from severe headaches and an eruptive nosebleed. In early January of 2001, two peculiar strangers again visited the same witness to the previous UFO encounter. Now, these two were much different from the others. They were at least 6 feet tall, very bony, with head, hands, and feet out of proportion to the rest of their body. They wore gray suits that seemed to be oily. They had black ties and hats, plus wraparound sunglasses that they never took off. When questioned about the glasses, they remarked that they could see perfectly fine. Their ears stood out from their heads, and their skin was pale white, whereas their fingernails were gray in color. They never removed the hats during their visit, and although the whole time only one of them spoke, when asked for IDs, they displayed silver cases that contained a photo with an unusual symbol, plus their names in very small print. Upon entering the kitchen, they asked the witness to please unplug the microwave. They also told him to turn the computer off. The two Persian cats were going crazy, dashing around the room and trying to get out of the window, which was closed. Each man carried a briefcase with an inverted L-shaped handle. The man that did all the talking asked to see the witness's unusual watch. He then removed from his briefcase four small containers. Each had a different colored top. Opening two, he proceeded to pour the contents over the watch. He told the concerned witness that, "Don't worry, no harm would come to the watch." He was given $250 for the purchase of the watch, and they told him that they would give him the rest later. He told them that he was moving soon. To this, they replied, "We know. Don't worry. We can find you if we want to." They soon departed without common courtesies, staring blankly at the witness as he extended his hand. Once again, the witness hurried to the bedroom window, only to find, as before, no sign of either man departing, nor could any vehicle be heard leaving. After the visit, the witness said he felt drained and again had a severe headache that lasted for 2 days, and he had a rash on his arms, face, and chest. Now, what a bizarre set of encounters. Like, I mean, what's the deal with the wristwatch? Why are the men in black so fascinated with this guy's wristwatch? Like, the three separate people, groups of men in black, all came to look at the wristwatch. What is it with the microwave?
It feels, what if it's like time travel? And this is the way that they want to see if anything has been altered down to like minutely. So they're inspecting the wristwatch.
That's a good idea. I never thought of that.
Like maybe there's something that's tied into the space-time continuum. And anyway, the only thing that picks it up are analog style wristwatches because they can't fail. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if they're in sync or whatever, I'm just spitballing crazy ideas. But what if that's how they can tell whatever timeline or if you've been, because they can take you on the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know if you know, by physics wise, if you leave, time travels faster here on Earth than it does whenever you're closer to the speed of light.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you come back. Well, your watch would show that difference. Even if you'd reset it, maybe there's something that they're looking for that we don't know it.
Yeah, just three groups of people.
It's so weird because it doesn't fit anything in the box, which is what makes it great because we always talk about you can't put it in a box.
That's what makes it so intriguing.
Yes, exactly.
Is that they act weird. How do they know that the people, this is my question I always have. How do they know that you saw a UFO? Like how do they figure that out?
Maybe they were chasing the people that abducted you whenever these people get abducted. That's it. Like they're like, I come in peace.
Well, they did say that he had strange dreams. Yeah. Maybe it was associated.
Maybe that's how they find you, or I don't know. There's so many things to it. I don't think it's just people working for the military. Now, that's not saying that maybe the government, or maybe the world government, or whatever, hasn't acted like they're men in black, hasn't, you know, donned the outfits to use this. But I just don't think these people are part of it. It feels like it's something like they're part of it, but they're not like us being part of it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird, man. I love it, though. I love it.
And what about on two separate occasions when these MIBs showed up, they both commented on the strange looking walking stick that was in the hallway. One of them even said that the face reminds him of the primates back home. What an odd thing.
Well, what
to
about
say?
Stuff melting around them?
Yeah.
But then the idea of them just vanishing makes it feel more like they have the ability to teleport or to warp, you know, or to like beam me up or whatever it is, that they can come and go with this whole thing. So maybe it's not their body producing this heat or whatever that's causing this reaction. Maybe it's something on the person, on their person, that's causing this reaction to certain things.
Yeah. Well, check this one out. This one happened in May of 2017. It says, "Hi, Lon. I've been meaning to send you this story for some time now. It was one of the strangest events in my and my friend's life. This event took place approximately 19 years ago, around 1998. A friend and I were on our way back to my place at around 2 to 2:30 a.m. one night, coming from Exton, Pennsylvania. We stopped at the Turkey Hill on Route 323 east of the town of Honeybrook to grab something to drink. I pulled into a parking space on the left side of the store in front of the window. I got out of the car. My friend remained in the car. Passing the window, I noticed a man leaning down on the windowsill inside. He was wearing a wide-brimmed black hat and had his head down so I couldn't see his face, only the hat. Entering the store, I noticed the male clerk behind the counter with his back to me. I retrieved the drinks and I went in for and proceeded to the counter. As I did, I observed the man leaning down in the sill, head still down, wearing all black, and he was wearing a black trench coat. Paying for my items, I noticed that the clerk acted as if the man wasn't even there, but slightly spooked at the same time. Leaving the store, I intended to relay this to my friend, who was waiting in my car. As I got back in, she was looking at the man, leaning down in the sill, and asked if I see this guy. I said, yeah. And I had told her a little about being inside the store as I put the car in reverse to leave. At that point, the man began to raise his head. He faced directly out at us. But oddly, as my friend yelled, he had no face. It was like it was blurred out, like they do on TV. Needless to say, we were both freaked out a little, and I tore off out of the lot and headed east towards my home, which was only a quarter mile or so from the store. My friend and I were silent at this point as I pulled into the entrance of my mobile home park. I stopped the car there and told my friend that we were going back, as I suspected that the clerk may be getting robbed by the man in the window. We headed out of the entrance and back to the store. I decided to make a right on a back road across from the store, by a local store deli, and told my friend to look over inside the store to see what she could see. The man was no longer crouching in the sill, but couldn't be seen inside anywhere either. I proceeded a short distance down this road to turn around when we witnessed a female wearing all black walking towards us in the middle of the opposite lane. After passing her, I immediately turned around to head back towards the store and asked the female if she needed any help. Reaching the stop sign at the intersection, we noticed she was now gone. We then turned our attention back to the store across the street and decided to go right, heading west on 322. We drove slowly past the store when we noticed the man was now outside, crouching by the payphone, head down to the right of the store. And a blacked-out Lincoln Continental or town car was parked to his left that we hadn't noticed before. The clerk was inside, standing behind the counter at this point, staring straight out the windows and perfectly still. Turned around a short distance down at the next mobile home park with the small diner in front and proceeded east again. This time, we pulled back into the parking lot. The man, the car, and the clerk still in the same positions as previous. The man began raising his head again, and again, I tore off out of the lot, going east on 322 towards my home. About 300 feet from leaving the lot, I had to swerve to miss another man wearing all black, walking towards us, in the center of our lane, going west towards the store. Both mine and my friend's hearts were pounding at this point, and again, I had to turn around and go back, wondering what the heck was going on. As we returned back to the store and pulled into the lot, we noticed that the walking man was gone, and the crouching man with no face was gone, and the car was gone. The male clerk from inside was now a female clerk, moving around doing work inside the store. At no time did we witness any other patrons to the store, nor any other vehicles in the parking lot during any of this. After finally returning home and talking for a bit, my friend calmed down enough to drive herself home. Passing the store after leaving, the same female clerk was still the only person there. My friend's car subsequently broke down on her a short distance away. She did make it home safe that night, though. I frequented that same store, and days later saw that same male clerk working there, where I noticed his demeanor to be totally different from that night. Neither of us have at the time had witnessed Men in Black activity. It wasn't until years later, while researching stories of Men in Black encounters, that it hit me. We have both seen unidentified craft periodically through our lives, and she and her mother have witnessed a being that didn't seem of this earth. We still keep in contact to this day. Because of a landed unidentified craft my mother witnessed in the late 1970s, when I was about 8 or 9, I've researched events involving UFOs throughout my life in an attempt to investigate sightings now. Thank you, Michael. So again, strange-looking man, this time without a face. A woman in black was seen. Another guy with a fedora and stuff was seen. It's like these men in black descended on this store and these people for just a short amount of time. And nobody knows what they're doing there. Very, very bizarre.
Do you think it's they're blurry? Like, you know, they always laugh about Bigfoot being blurry or the pictures of Bigfoot being blurry. All this blurry stuff, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Do you think it's because they're not of this timeline?
Well,
that when you try to capture it, that maybe your eyes see a vibrational difference that they can fool it, but that you can't fool certain things, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Just I'm just throwing out crazy ideas because this is it's wild.
It is. It is so strange. I've got another one here. All right, check this one out. This guy was writing a letter to Nick Redfern about a strange Men in Black situation he think he had years ago. This happened in Wales, I think, northern Wales. It's pretty cool. He says, the reason I'm writing you is in regards to a strange experience I had back in 1997 when I was 17 years old. Whether you may be able to shed light on my experience or not, I'm not sure, but I came across your name and Real Men in Black article on the web a few moments ago, and I felt the need to reach out to you for your expertise. Firstly, I would like to say that I have not read your Men in Black books, but I plan to. But I do have an interest in the unexplained, and I've read many books on these subjects since I have had multiple strange experiences in my past and my present. That being said, the experience I wish to convey to you has not been contaminated with any theories of others or my own. I am very open-minded, but at the same time possess a healthy skepticism with any unexplained phenomena. However, I have not found any logical reason for what I'm about to tell you, although there's always the possibility that there is one. The following account is complete truth, and I have not embellished any part of it. All I hope is that you might have an explanation for what happened, be it strange or mundane, as I am uncertain as to the whether this account depicts the behavior of what you call the Men in Black. At the time of my experience, I was 17 years of age and was bunking off from a college lecture to meet my then-girlfriend later that afternoon. So here's the account. I was walking from my college and into town to get a coffee to pass the hour until I caught the bus to my girlfriend's. I was young and newly in love and walking quite happily down the main street when I started to get a strange feeling that I was being watched. I had the strange feeling that I was being followed. This feeling led to an instinct of looking behind me, and as I did, a few feet away, I saw a couple of men close behind. As I looked, they both emitted a blank smile. Now, being young and, dare I say it, possibly naive, I had the thought that maybe they were from the college and were following me because I skipped my lecture. After I witnessed this blank smile, I continued to walk at my normal pace down the long main street towards my destination. I was now wondering to myself if they smiled at me because I looked at them. You know, the old, you look at me, so I'll look at you scenario. I looked behind me a second time, and again, they offered in unison that same blank smile. I also noticed their appearance. And whilst they were not wearing black suits and black fedoras, they were wearing an attire that didn't seem to fit in. Dark brown tweed suits with matching long overcoats and fedora-like hats. Without sounding cliched, they did appear to be from an earlier era than the 90s, to say the least. I decided to quicken my pace and noticed that their pace also quickened. Feeling a little paranoid, I quickened my pace again. And again, they also matched my speed. So now I'm almost speed walking towards the cafe to get my coffee. A third look behind me before I entered the John Menzies, which is a British store chain. Confirmed that they were still walking my way. So I entered the store, but waited inside a little for them to pass by. They didn't. So I ventured into the street again, but they had disappeared. I immediately assumed that they had turned off or entered another shop and put it down to myself as just being a paranoid college skipper. I re-entered the store and proceeded to walk upstairs to the cafe area. It is worth mentioning here that whilst I chose this cafe for its quietness, it did always bug me a bit that the cafe attendants rarely gave you enough time to choose what you wanted without being quickly pestered into hurrying up with your order. Now, having been quickly served at the counter, I found a place to sit at a table facing the cafe entrance and began to read a letter that my girlfriend had sent me. Anyway, a few moments later, I looked up from the letter whilst taking a sip of my coffee and I froze on the spot instantly. The two distinguished gentlemen were a few feet away at the food counter, staring at me blankly. After what seemed like an age of staring, one of the men placed a large leather-like satchel on the floor. I haven't even noticed it before, with the other man still staring at me. The other bent down, opened the satchel, and pulled out a very large and old-looking camera, complete with a large round flash. He proceeded to point the camera directly at me and took my picture. On doing so, he placed the camera back in the satchel and both men turned and slowly walked away towards the stairs. Now, completely in shock and bemused as to what just happened, I was still frozen in place trying to wonder what the hell had just happened. I quickly decided to follow them. The time it's taken for this decision, taking into consideration the casual speed at which they exited, I calculated that they would still be going down the stairs or at least at the bottom by the time I got to them. And literally, I ran down the stairs. But there was no sign of them. So I decided to go to the store exit first, and I looked outside, but they weren't anywhere to be seen. I then turned to look into the store again due to the fact that I might have missed them inside and that they would have had to pass me to leave. But again, they were nowhere to be seen. One thing that was apparent to me was that whilst they were upstairs by the counter, they were never attended to by the very needy cafe staff. And believe me, they used to pester you. To be honest, without sounding stupid, it seemed like no one could see them but me. I know how that sounds, but all I can do is explain the account in the same way I experienced it. Now, as a 17-year-old bunking off college, I was hesitant to tell my mother of this experience. Not because of the ludicrous way it would have sounded. She actually took that part in her stride, as she also has experienced many strange phenomena in her life. But because I thought I might have been grounded for skipping school. Least to say, when I did arrive home later that day, I told her the exact same thing I just told you, including why I was not in school. I was rarely on the new internet back then. Anyways, that happened that day. What happened that day is a mystery, and there could be a mundane reason for it, but there are little things that still bug me. Why did I feel I was being followed, only to see that I was? Why did they seem out of place in both their clothes and their blank demeanor? Why take a picture of me at all, let alone with a very old-fashioned camera, and then quickly put it in a bag and disappear? I have no idea. Crazy. I mean, again, they act odd. There's just like no explanation as to why they're following this guy around, why they would produce an old camera and then snap a picture of him. Like none of it makes sense.
Maybe the old cameras is how they detect for the blur or for the alien aura.
I don't know.
It just feels like they are doing more research on what is involved with or what it are interacted with us rather.
Yeah.
Than on us ourselves.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Now, there's loads of stories all over, and I'll probably have to continue with another episode with more MIB sightings. But the only video I've ever seen of actual men in black were taken from a security video from the Sheraton Fallsview Hotel in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. And you've probably seen this video where it's like in a hotel lobby, and you see these two tallish men in black come in. Of course, they're wearing black trench coats. They're wearing the typical fedoras. They're wearing the sunglasses. The video itself is only about 4 minutes long. And if you do a Google search, I'm sure you can find it. But the manager of the hotel, they actually said that one of their bellmen, this is in his own words, the manager wrote, he said, one of my bellmen approached me and he kind of had a weird look on his face. And he said to me, can we go in your office and talk? So I was like, okay, this is kind of strange. So he says he brought him into his office and he said, something really weird happened yesterday and you weren't here. There were a couple of guys here looking for you. And I quickly said, a couple of guys, what do you mean? And he said, well, this is really hard for me to say, but there's a couple of strange looking men that were here and they kind of freaked everybody out and they were all asking questions about you. And at this point, I was confused. I was like, what are you talking about? And the guy said, well, they were here. And I don't know how to describe them except for they were extremely odd looking. They were really, really tall. They were identical in height and weight. And they were wearing the exact same clothes. They had the exact same faces, like they were identical twins. They were wearing black suits, black trench coats. They were wearing old-fashioned fedora hats. They had extremely, extremely pale skin. They came in and looked around a little bit, and then they asked for you. And I said, I'm sorry, he's not actually working here today. And it seems like they didn't believe me, so they started to walk around the hotel, and shortly after that, they went to the tour desk. I got busy and started having to bring cars around and get luggage, and by the time I came back, they were gone. He goes, they freaked me out, and I really wanted to tell you that there was these weird guys in here looking for you. So, of course, the manager says that now I was a little bit skeptical, but a little freaked out at the same time. So the first thing I did was I ran back to the security office because I know how to work the security system. And I rewound the cameras. And sure enough, on the video, I see these two gentlemen he was talking about. They came through the front door. They looked exactly how he described. And then the next day, I was talking with our tour desk. And again, she said, can I talk to you privately for a moment? I was like, sure. She came in my office, the same as my bellman, and she said, hey, I need to talk to you about something that happened. I heard that you heard that there were some men looking for you. They asked a few questions about you. They said strange things that I didn't understand, and they were talking about governments and conspiracies. None of it made any sense. She said they were very, very scary. And I said, well, why were they scary? She said they had no facial hair, none. She said they had no eyebrows. No eyelashes, nothing. Their hair looked like they had a wig on, like it was attached to their hat, like it wasn't even real. And she said that the scariest thing was that their eyes were so big and so blue that they almost hypnotized me a little bit. She said, "You're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this, but I swear that they knew what I was thinking. I swear, and I don't think I'm crazy, but I don't even know how they could do it, but and I don't know why I'm even telling you this." She said, "I started intentionally thinking about other things, but I don't know if it worked." And then she started to cry, and she said one more thing before she left. She said, "These men, they didn't blink. Not once did I see them blink." So if you want to see that video, like I said, you can go on the internet, Google stuff like that. You know, there's no sound or anything, but you do see these odd looking guys walk in. The video is only like 4 minutes. But again, this person's at a hotel. He's not there. He later went on to say that like a day before these guys showed up, he saw what he thought was a UFO. And then the next day they show up at the hotel looking for him, but he was off that day. And when he gets back, his coworkers are like, "Hey, man, let me talk to you. There's these two odd looking cats in here looking for you." He went back to security cameras, rewound it, and that's where this video comes from.
It's so weird that they could find him at work, but they wouldn't find him at home. See what I'm, it's just, it's like they have a small window of time they can be here.
Yeah.
Like you get one shot at this, right? Otherwise, we're going to have to go back, reset, and send you back to talk to him. So just try to make do with what you can.
It's very strange. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't, but I do find the stories of Men in Black very, very interesting. That's about it for right now. Let's take a break. When we get back, I got another strange sighting to share with you. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope you like those stories of the Men in Black and the strange encounters and stuff. Sorry if you keep hearing our phone, my phone in particular, going off. We're recording this during the day, and business is a booming. I keep hearing it going off and tinging and vibrant.
Yeah.
It's because the holidays are coming up, so everybody's trying to get their stuff done.
Yeah,
before next week, because everybody knows like next week there's not going to be a whole lot going on. The kids are out of school. And like I mentioned earlier, next week, next Thursday is Luke's birthday. Luke's birthday is actually on Thanksgiving, the 24th. And then your birthday's 2 days later.
Yeah.
What are you asking for anything cool for your birthday?
No. I'm hoping that they get me some good surprises, but I'm not holding my breath. Usually, like we've talked every year, sometimes maybe good.
Well, listen, I'm
the problem though, because I don't ask for anything.
Well, and listen, if I were your family, this is what I would do. If I want a good Christmas, I know that if Dad's birthday is really right before Christmas, I'm going to get Dad something really cool for his birthday because that means he's probably going to return the favor on Christmas.
See, my kids don't think that way.
See, that's the way I would think, right?
It works. Gaming the system.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
They're probably either going to cook for me or take me out to dinner, either one. So I'm down with either one. My son really makes a great brisket. He loves to barbecue. Mm. He cooks great steaks, and maybe he'll do that. I don't know. Like I said, I'm leaving it up to them. I'm not really, you know, like we've said, by the time you get to this point, What's it matter, right? I'll be 47 years old, so I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm staring down the barrel of 50.
Now, before we get out of here, a listener called in from a woman named Joanne.
Yay.
She has a very strange experience. Check this out.
Hi, my name's Joanne. And in 1998, we bought a little house out in the country in California in the foothills. And it was kind of run down, but livable. And it sat on a hill, and for many years, we experienced a lot of odd things. My son called in last year and told you the story about when he was outside playing and was picked up. And, you know, it was shocking for him because, really, we didn't talk to Garrett about a lot of the things that were happening, and there was a lot happening. But to give you an idea, this kind of goes with his story and what happened with me. The kids would go to school and it was still dark, so I would have to drive them down the dirt road. We were real remote and wait for the bus, and I'd get back and it'd still be dark, so I would get back in bed with my husband and sleep in for a little bit. And then my husband, he used to get up and always give me a kiss before he left, and then, you know, rest of the day. But one day I was in bed and I was waiting for my kiss, and then I thought I heard him drive off. And so I thought that was really odd. So I got up and I started making the bed, and I was just about done. And then I heard the screen door open. So I thought, oh, he is coming in to give me my kiss. So I'll just pretend I'm asleep. And I jumped back in bed and I waited, and I could hear really light footsteps. And we always had this one crick in the floor, and when you stepped on it, it'd go, crick, you know. So I was knowing exactly where he was, and then, anyway, I heard the soft steps into the bedroom, and nothing, you know. I wasn't going to get my kiss, I guess, because I looked, and he wasn't there. And I sat up, and I thought, wow, I really thought he was there. So as I'm sitting there, I kind of turn my head and I see a shadow of a man up on the wall, and I was like, wow, that's really odd. And so right where I thought that my husband had stopped in the room is where, you know, the shadow I figured would be projecting from. So I'm looking and there's no one there, and then I turn and I look and I see the shadow, and I look back at the bed at the end of it, and then I turn and look at the shadow. Well, whatever was there decided to turn its head to see what I was looking at. So I saw that part in the shadow, and it saw its shadow, and it went running out of the house, slammed out of the screen door, and I have no idea what I encountered. It was like an invisible person. I wouldn't expect a ghost to have that much. You know, you wouldn't expect a ghost to be hearing their feet pounding across the floor, you know, and then throwing open the screen door. So anyway, I jumped up and I didn't quite know what to do, because if I ran outside, it's obviously outside, and there was so much going on in that home. But anyway, that's one of the stories, and I just wanted to share it. Thanks.
Again, what did she see? Was it a shadow being? Was it a glimmer man? Was it a ghost, like she said? I mean, she doesn't know, but what a scary,
there's so many things that can fit
sighting. And her son called into the show like a year ago, and he was the one where something had picked him up in the backyard. You remember that? Like,
yep.
She says that this house that they lived at in California, they just had a lot of odd things going on there. So it always reminds me when people have these homes that lots of strange things happen. It reminds me of the movie, like Poltergeist, right? Like, was their house perhaps built on something that was buried beneath that, like an old cemetery? And that's why people have problems. I even mentioned shows, many shows ago, where a friend of mine, Justin, was dating a girl, remember? And their family house had a lot of strange things that were happening there. And it come to find out it was on top of like a Native American burial ground. So like, I wonder, when there's these people that live in these homes and hot spots for activity, is it something just like that? Like, who knows?
Yeah. In certain areas, look, it has to be, right? If there's certain areas that you lose frequency on different electronic devices, then those things have to be in return. There has to be some crazy thin areas that get a lot more of this activity.
Yeah, like this zone of silence.
Yes.
What is that one spot in Mexico where like nothing can penetrate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that really a thing, or is it just like, you know, T-Mobile and Verizon and stuff don't have any towers near there?
I don't know, but I like to believe it's a thing.
Yeah, because they talk about like radios don't work. And
yes.
If you're in a plane and you fly over, like your navigation stuff don't work. I mean, but you
that's
know,
when I would begin to panic, wouldn't you?
Those kind of stories.
If you're flying and your things just quit working, you're like, oh, well, this is where it ends.
Well, if it was an older plane, yeah, but like these new modern planes, they pretty much fly themselves.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, if all your stuff went crazy, it might be easier to fly one when you're actually holding the stick and the flaps.
Yeah, maybe. You saw the World War II reenactment planes that crashed here in Dallas.
Yeah, I heard about all that. That was bad.
Lots of people sent me those videos. That is.
I love flying, but man.
Crazy.
Right.
Well, flying it used to be fun. It's kind of a pain now with all the procedures you got to go through.
Do a lot of it? I didn't know you got your pilot's license.
No.
You killing it?
Well, it's when you fly on a plane.
Oh. Yeah.
But even then, when I was a kid, man, it was cool, right? Like, this was back in the day where you could just walk into the counter with cash, buy a ticket, get on. It was like.
Would you fly in a paramotor?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I want to try that so bad.
Yeah, that, those look fun.
Right? They look like a good time. You talk about seeing some beautiful sights.
Because if I think if you have like engine trouble, the thing just kind of glides.
I mean, aside from the wind, of course, the wind can
power
lines into the ground.
But yeah, I'd be worried about.
Yeah, to do something crazy like that. But yeah, if you're flying on a nice day and like the engine dies, it looks like you can just coast down. Then you make your phone call and get the pickup. The walk of shame, somebody comes and gets you because you ran out of gas or something.
Well, and you could always carry just a handgun with you. And if things look really bleak, I mean, you could just.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
No. I'm riding it in. I'm going to try to land like in the back of a truck.
Do you ever have an idea? And you're like, this is, I got this plan. I'm going to do this tomorrow, or I'm going to do this weekend. And then that day gets there. And it's just like the universe doesn't want you to do it.
That's every day of my life. Every day when I get up, I have certain plans. And you talk about getting derailed.
So I haven't put Christmas lights on the house like in 2 years.
And you went blue, I noticed.
And Luke and DeLee have really been giving it to me. So I was like, you know what? Fine, I'll do it. So I got this idea. I was like, all right, let's go. So we went to Home Depot. We bought the Christmas lights. We got the blue ones like Luke wanted. Got home. And the next day comes, I'm going to hang them. Start looking. I don't have an extension ladder that's going to be tall enough to get to the roof, the peak of the roof on this house. So I call my mother thinking, well, she's got a bunch of ladders and stuff. No, she don't have them. She got rid of them all, or my brother took them. I don't know. No ladder. So crap. Now I got to go back to Home Depot. Go back to Home Depot. Mm-hmm. I buy a ladder. Come back home. Start trying to hang the lights. My impact driver's not working. Try all the batteries. I can't get it to go. Put the batteries on my drill. No problem. For whatever reason, it's not working. Go back to Home Depot. Buy an impact driver. Come home. Finally get them hung up. But like what was going to be just a simple hanging Christmas lights turned into a $700 ordeal. And about halfway through it, I was on top of the ladder. I was getting tangled in the.
You're just going to jump.
I was just going to wrap it around my neck a couple more times and just jump. I was just mad at that point. It was like, what am I going to do?
No good deed goes unpunished.
Now I'm 60% in. It's not like I can just quit now. Like I'm committed.
I'll expect you to come over and hang mine now that you got the new ladder and the new screw gun there.
Well, there's these services that will hang them for you.
And you started one. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No, I don't want to. But I always see that and I'm always just like, who would do that? But now I totally get it. I was mad. But Luke and the wife
were
happy.
You were going to tell me you got them all up and like some of the strands didn't work.
Okay.
She's a beauty, Clark.
So that happened to me about 3 years ago. Like we would always get like real trees and then I'd just buy cheap Christmas lights, wrap, you know, the cheap route. 3 or 4 years ago, my wife talked me into, well, what we need to do is just buy one of these pre-lit trees, right? Again, expensive purchase.
Yes.
And they guarantee, you know, this thing's going to run perfect for like 10 years.
You quit working?
I had so many. I spent 2 hours replacing bulbs, you know, trying to get to work. And then finally, I just threw the whole damn thing out and just went and bought another tree. And I bought a cheap one. And I was like, that's it.
Y'all just use fake trees, right?
We do now, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to use the real thing, but we don't anymore.
We started out fake long, long, long time ago. And then somewhere right after my daughter was born, I guess, we decided to go, or maybe it was right before that with my son, we decided to go real, and we've done real every year.
Yeah. Well, that definitely makes the house smell better.
I'll tell you what I wish they did, and I had seen this online, and I've talked about it before, how fun it would be to where you could go buy you a tree, and it stays at the tree farm, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then they bring it to you, and it's like in the big pot, and as it grows, they repot this tree. So you get it every year till it's large enough to replant in the forests out there.
That's a good idea.
That they have. So you get it as little, and you get to take care of it and make sure it's taken care of while it's at your place, and then it goes back to the pros.
I think you just started a new business.
Man, I think it's in the UK is where I'd seen it, but I'm like, man, why aren't we doing that here?
Do you remember?
And then you can replant it. I'm like, that would be cool.
Do you remember when we were kids? They don't make it anymore, but they used to make this tinsel.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
was just like.
They don't make tinsel anymore?
I never see it anymore. That shit would get all over the carpet like for months.
And the spray snow.
They still sell that.
Oh, God. I remember getting in trouble with
that
stuff.
But like the tinsel used to just be, it's basically just strands of plastic.
Yeah, that
sounds
real good.
Metallic looking plastic. It's supposed to look like icicles.
Yeah.
My mom would get so mad because it'd constantly tear up the vacuum cleaner.
3 months later. And it doesn't look like icicles.
No.
It looks like shiny silver strands of plastic.
Yeah.
It's nothing. I've never seen a beautiful driven field in snow and all that. Went, man, that looks just like silver plastic.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. It looks like somebody shredded Mylar.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what it is. That's basically what it is. I have not seen it. If they do sell it, they may sell it online somewhere, but I have not seen that crap.
I'm going to try to find some and give it to you.
All right.
I'm just going to take it when I'm walking through and just going to scatter it in your house. Just.
Yeah.
Like peanuts. Remember all the little packaging peanuts? You know, yeah. When the styrofoam gets everywhere. They used to make them where they were water soluble.
Really?
Yeah, I remember seeing them get wet and just gone. I'm sure that was good for the water.
Probably not any worse, though, than the styrofoam. Like,
only
none
if
of
you
it's
drank
good.
It. Just take a shot.
Why, when you order something on Amazon,
here we go.
You can order something like the size of this remote.
Yeah.
And that sucker will come in a box 8 times its size with and nothing in it. And then you'll just pull out like the. I'm like, I don't. What's up with the boxes?
I have to believe that they're automatically loaded, like automated. Like anybody in their right mind, like they have just a whole thing loaded with this size boxes. And anything this size and smaller fits in this box. So the computer just grabs it, drops it in, seals it, and
see,
it's gone.
That's, you're probably right. See?
I'm
just like, what is going
aren't
on?
Dumb enough to physically go, eh, that's good enough, and put something like that in a refrigerator box.
Well, see, that's how dumb I am. I'm assuming that there's a person packaging all this stuff, right? I just never does. I'm like, what are they doing? They don't sell small boxes? How? Come on, Bezos. Like, right, what's the problem?
He's getting mad.
Anyways, if you have any cool stories or MIB encounters of your own you'd like to share with me and Cam and the listeners, don't hesitate. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com, or you can call the show like Joanne, 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsors. Felix Gray, to get the best blue light glasses on the market, you got to go to felixgrayglasses.com/expanded. Non-prescription and prescription available. Also, HelloFresh, to get America's number one meal kit, do yourself a favor and get HelloFresh. You got to go to HelloFresh.com/expanded65 for 65% off plus free shipping. And Lumi Labs Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick search or go to microdose.com and use the promo code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week and the week of Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Whatever I'm told. I know we got a lot of stuff planned with the family. We'll get a lot of that stuff going on and hunting.
Very
I'm going
cool.
to be doing a lot of hunting. The weather's going to be great for it. Eating and hunting. That's what I'm going to be doing.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we're doing about the same. We're not going out of town or nothing. We're having some family come over Saturday, and then we're just going to Delise's cousin's house, not too far away. Nice. So we're going to be, it's going to be good times. The kids are out of school all week, so I'll probably be hiding at my office or hiding over at Skeleton Studios.
There you go.
But that's about all the time we have for this episode. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.